Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for July 24th, 2018. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Kennebec, Preston, Camp, and Campbell.
Thank you. And we heard from Councilmember Davis earlier today that he might be late this evening. We did hear from Councilmember Hanford last week that he would not be here, so without objection, we'll go ahead and consider his absence as excused, and we'll note for the record when Councilmember Davis enters chambers. Councilmember Kennebec, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Yes, thank you. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is the item number 1, AB18-155, Presentation Distinguished Service Award. Mr. Dickerson's not here this evening. Our interim Deputy Chief Irving is here to make the presentation.
Good evening, Council members, Mayor Thomas, Administrator McIntyre. It is my pleasure tonight to present the Department's Distinguished Service Award. Officer Nairman, would you please come forward? A little bit about Officer Irvin. He's in his 19th year of service to the citizens of Monroe, and 7 of those 19 years he's been on the Department's Farm Patrol. So in 2016, Officer Nader initiated a complex investigation into organized retail. This two-year investigation began with a pawn shop opened in our city, and Officer Irvin identified a troubling trend of shoplifters going to the same pawn shop at a suspiciously high rate. Through many partner shops, the United States Postal Service, undercover officers with the Summer's Regional Drug and Game Task Force, and loss prevention agents with our retail partners in Lowe's, Fred Meyer, and Walmart, he was able to progress this investigation. I can tell you, I have had the opportunity to work alongside him for 6.5 of those years in Iraq. He's an incredible investigator who has dogged skills. He finds some minute details to further his investigations. So he was able to successfully investigate and dismantle this prolific theft ring, which negatively affected retailers across the region. Officer Irvin estimates the dollar loss to retailers at over $1 million. On March 30th, 2018, Monroe Police Department served a search warrant at the pawn shop and located the business for approximately 2,200 individual items valued at $71,000. The investigation revealed the suspect had taken stolen property and resell it via the internet. This investigation concluded with the arrest of a 23-year-old man. For these reasons, it is my pleasure to award Officer Nate Irvin with the Monroe Police Department's Distinguished Service Award.
Thank you. First day.
All right, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda this evening is announcements and presentations. Item number 2, this is a presentation from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. This is the quarterly report. Yvonne, thank you for coming this evening.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for having me. I am here to give you the second quarter report for the Monroe Chamber, and I'm happy to announce that we've actually added a few things as well today.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Councilmember Kim.
Volume up a little bit. I've got this fan blowing on the side.
Well, I can get louder.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
I'm dead.
I'll take whatever I'm saying.
Sorry to interrupt.
You need to use my mom voice.
There you go.
Okay. So my mom voice. So second quarter. Second quarter was a lot of fun. We did a lot of great things, a lot of community connections. We worked with the Lions Club, the Boys and Girls Club, and the East County Senior Center, and we did family Derby Days. We also work, can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes.
We also work on I have a whole list here, and of course I can hear it. We worked on the family Derby Days. We worked on the parade. We're getting that going. We have about 35 people in the parade right now, not including our normal VIPs, which adds up to a lot more. But we have the parade going. And we've also worked on getting ATVs for everybody instead of the convertibles. But right now we got two for sure. And so we're working on that for the VIPs. But we're working on it. We're trying. It's just hard because they don't want to put miles on them. And so unless people own them, then it's easier. But to get them new and borrow them is getting harder because they just want to put them all on. And then we also have been working on coffee connections. I was also attending the a few other coffee events that we had at Cordial Pet Health, meeting with different, like, our state representative, and we also had our state and county update at the Chamber Luncheon, and so that was really nice to be able to see our state representatives in Denver and be able to see them one-on-one, hear what they've been up to, how they're helping our Sky Valley. The other things that we've been working on is our community coordination meetings and working with other organizations that are nonprofits and other people that put together events and activities and help for our business community. And we all sit down as a group, and there's about, depends on the month, 15 people, and we all just kind of connect and share our calendars. We also are working on business workshops, so teaching people how to do things like Google My Business or social media. This month we're working on Music in the Park. Oh, and in June we got Shakespeare in the Park to come out. We didn't do it, we didn't put it on, but we encouraged them to come out and do it. And so they were out there and they did Shakespeare in the Park 2 days because it was the third Saturday, the third Friday, and the second Friday, because the third Friday was like tie track. And so they came out and they did Shakespeare in the Park twice. And then we have Music in the Park in July, which has been going really well. The first one was a little crazy because of the weather, so we probably had about 200 people. On the 13th, we probably had about 500. And then this last one, if anybody went there, we had well over 700. I kind of stopped counting at 800, but they were all moving around a lot too, so I counted a couple levels. But it was well over 700 people. The whole park was just packed. People all over Lake Tai. The playground was busy. It was really cool. It was really neat to see everybody come out. We've heard nothing but great things on Facebook about it. It's kind of funny how so many people didn't even realize that we did that. And then we have been working with you guys, and it was a huge team effort. And yes, for some it felt like it was the first time they'd ever heard about it, and that's why they're coming out. Today we dropped a whole bunch of sidewalk signs too, so I'm sorry, but we did drop signs to make sure people knew about Music in the Park, since this Friday is our last Friday at the park. And then tomorrow we also have the farmer's market. And so we've gotten a lot of push to try to get it back here weekly. Unfortunately, just from what we saw last year, it kind of made us nervous to try to do it weekly. So we only did it monthly. And it was huge last month. We had well over 500 people. It was supposed to start at 3. The vendors were already selling at 2. Six of the farmers ran out of, or six, three farms and then three other vendors ran out of produce or product of some sort, jam, berries, flowers. We were running out of stuff. This time we have 32 vendors and 8 produce, and we warned everybody about how well our last month went, so fingers crossed everybody shows up again this month so that we can do just as well this month. But it's a great way to bring people in, show off the Monroe Plaza, we didn't bring a food truck this time, but we're going to make sure that we push everybody to the raw too, or the teriyaki joint, or the pizza, or taco time, and make sure everybody knows what's there, and that they're eating and staying here, dining in, and then hopefully buying their produce, and they can go and make breakfast or lunch or whatever. And we have, next month we're helping promote the Movies Under the Moon. Oh, and then next week is the wakeboarding event, and so we're pretty excited about that, and so we're going to be pushing that. We have flyers that we're going to take out to them. It's just the same thing, it just kind of promotes and says, welcome to Monroe, and on the back it's just a list of all the businesses businesses that we have that either are related to some kind of store, restaurant, or shopping that maybe that demographic would be interested in. Our social media is booming. We have, well, almost 1,799 people on Facebook. So, almost there. But in 1 month, we've already grown 200. And I think that has a lot to do with the farmer's market and community. And we've done a much better job of pushing a lot of different events. I go on daily and look for events that are going on throughout the whole city. And so we are working really hard. I really want Choose Monroe on Facebook to be the source for entertainment, activities, and business relationships. And so I want to, I just go on there and I look at Boys and Girls Club or Route 2 or what's happening in downtown, or, you know, there's all these different groups that we have. And so we push all of those events into Choose Monroe. And it's crazy how big our list of events is to ensure that it's not just our residents that see it, but also the tourists and the guests that come in, that, you know, pushing it up to the hotels and making sure that the hotels know that they can push people to Facebook at Choose Monroe and anybody can see what's happening and they have somewhere to go. And then next month, we are working on Carson Keg with the YMCA. And that's huge for us. Last year, we had about 600 people. Facebook got a lot of traction. We sold a bunch of, I can't remember the number of tickets, but we sold a bunch of tickets. This year's a little different too. We even have, you can pre-purchase the table and you can kind of reserve a table for your group. So it's from 3 to 8 and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great opportunity to kind of bring people into Monroe, show off some of the stuff that we have in the Sky Valley as far as drinking, like beer and wine, our breweries. We have a couple of vendors that are beer vendors that do like wooden or growler carriers. So in the chambers now, we are in there at 9, but we open the doors at 10, but we're starting at 4:00. We have to get, have to add an hour because we're getting too busy. And so we're there at 9, and we close at 4 still. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Council, any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank your board.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is public comment. This is a time set aside for members of the public to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet. We do have one person who signed in, Heather Rousey. Thank you. Please state your name.
Report 308 West Main Street. We also have at that address our family business, and that includes my parents' bookstore, and we added coffee service 3 years ago. We added a roast house 2 years ago. We have also in the last year received an award for being the best coffee roaster in the Mission County, and the entrepreneurial spirit award from the Chamber. But we are always looking for ways to improve our business and increase our clientele. And we first thought maybe we could capture some of the morning crowd by adding a drive-through window at our place. Well, zoning and all that kind of stuff, it, thankfully it didn't work. But then you guys came up with a brilliant thing of passing the ordinance for WATV. And we have taken that and we have launched a delivery service, which we've done like for the last week. We deliver via ATV within city limits. We deliver to car dealerships, we deliver to offices, retail, we deliver to child care centers, a few stay-at-home moms, very important. And we just loved it. We've seen a few familiar faces, and we've seen a lot of new faces, so it's been a very good thing for us. We see a lot of those faces with a large smile on them, of course, because one of our delivery drivers wears a purple tutu and a tiara, but, you know, that's just her. So, as I added up the numbers at the end of the week, I realized that one of our days we'd actually doubled our normal sales. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking of how this all happened, and I thought, this would be good. So, thank you for supporting your local business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's look at the
record. We need more of those updates.
Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers at 7:16 during public comment. Thank you very much. Anybody else like to give public comment this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to consent. Council members? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Before I make a motion to consent, I just want to disclose out there for item number 3, the small capitals project that does involve the Boys and Girls Club, even though they're not part of the contract, but just to disclose that.
I'm sorry. What's the nature of the relationship, council member? Just so I can opine.
The city and the Boys and Girls Club are together with our programs for the county.
Snohomish County small.
Okay. And you're
not an employee or an official one of the parties that are to this contract or something else?
No, the Boys and Girls Club partnership was done for someone else, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Second.
So I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action number 1. This is AB 18-161, Lobbyist Public Affairs Representative Selection. Ms. Knight.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
We did approve an ordinance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Approved through the consent agenda was ordinance number 018-2018, adopting zoning regulations pursuant to RCW 3670A-390 and RCW 35A-63-220, amending Chapter 18.10 MMC Land Use Zoning District and District Requirements, and Chapter 18.02 MMC Definitions, authorizing and establishing standards and definitions for the installation, use, and occupancy of temporary dwellings for security guards on active development project sites, setting forth supported findings, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, the next item on the agenda would be final action number 1. This is AB 18-161, Lobbyist Public Affairs Representative Selection. Ms. Knight.
Thank you. So the issue in front of council this evening is whether to continue to contract for public affairs representation in 2019. We met with the legislative committee, and the committee requested that the mayor and staff issue a request for proposal in April. If you recall, your current contract with Greenlight Strategies expires at the end of 2018, and the Legislative Affairs Committee was interested in taking a look at proposals sooner than that. Your contract actually allows for a 30-day notice if you decide that you want to terminate and there's no cause required. So what the committee was interested in was ensuring that we had an opportunity to review proposals in advance of starting work for the 2019 legislative session. We issued that request for proposal and received 3 proposals in response. One from Greenlight Strategies, our current provider, Strategies 360 out of Everett, and then SDS Municipal Consulting, Sarah Davenport-Smith out of Sultan. We had a list of criteria in the RFP, and we had staff internal to the city review each one of the proposals using that criteria, and the outcome of that score sheet was that Strategies 360 received the highest score, followed by SDS Municipal Consulting, and then Greenlight Strategies. Mayor and I met with the key providers from each one of those firms and had an opportunity to hear from them exactly what it is they were proposing to do as far as representing us down in Olympia and then potentially expanding to federal representation as well. That was one of the services that the legislative committee had asked for. So if you take a look at your agenda bill on page 2 of 90, there's a table there that outlines our current budget, which is approximately $57,600 for 2018, and then the responses and the cost estimates from each one of the firms that that responded. After reviewing those, the legislative committee actually asked us to go back and ask SDS Municipal Consulting for a separate scope of work to represent the city for coalition work. We had in the past pulled together a coalition for the SR 522 capacity enhancements, and then there's also an effort currently going on to do capacity improvements on US 2. So what you see in that table there then is the original proposals from all three of the providers, plus a second proposal from SDS Municipal Consulting to do two things. One was taking a look at their federal proposal in greater detail, and then the coalition work. So after reviewing those at its last meeting, the legislative committee is recommending that the city contract with Strategies 360 for work down in Olympia, and contract with SDS Municipal Consulting for the coalition work. Combined together, the two contracts are just a little bit over what we're paying in 2018, so it comes out to be about $58,000 a year. And again, we're currently paying just about that in 2018. So what we're doing is staying within the existing budget, but actually expanding the scope of work. Taking a look at the federal proposals, they were slightly more expensive than I think both staff and the legislative committee members had anticipated. And so after discussing it at length, the committee members are recommending that we not do any federal work at this time. Instead, what we presented to the council at its last meeting was the opportunity to take a trip to Washington, D.C., potentially this year or next year, and begin to build those relationships, and then really consider what work, if any, we might have that would require federal representation. So at this point, I'm available to answer any questions that the council might have, and we've got two requested actions. One is for the contract with Strategies 360, and the second is for the contract with SDS Municipal Consulting.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Thank you for that report. For the federal portion, was there any discussion of partnering up with another city, possibly combined to be able to include federal but share the burden of the cost?
Yes, and actually I apologize for not talking a little bit more about that. After taking a look at this cost, I actually had conversations with the city administrators and managers from surrounding communities. They also share the same representatives for federal work, and so we're starting the conversation around whether or not we could combine those forces in a single contract using those same providers.
Okay, thank you for that. And then just a question about process, because when we looked at hiring a lobbyist before, there was work done by the legislative committee, but then the consultants were brought in for an interview in front of the full council. So just curious, this process is different than our last one, where it sounds like staff interviews key people from both of the consultants, or the consultants, and then brought those answers back to the LEDGE committee, who then made a recommendation. So, change of process, was that something the legislative committee recommended?
I don't think the legislative committee recommended it. It was just the process that I was used to going through, and I've had experience with all three of these consultants, and so I think I just represented kind of my experience with them, both for my prior work and for this contract as well. So happy to bring them in if that's something that council is interested in before making a final decision. On that point, though, I should note that we are looking to try and bring the coalition work together, the stakeholders, in September, so we are on something of a short timeline.
Yes, I can see that. And then, I mean, just curious what other council members think about that, whether there's a need for me making decisions because of the relationship with their doing work on our behalf, representing us elsewhere. I've heard of these people, but I understand that the rest of the council does not. We've done the same when we were interviewing brokers who are going to be tied to the city for a period of time and it's a relationship representing our interests. So that's something I've noticed this, and
talking about the U.S. 2 Safety Coalition?
Exactly. Is that still in effect, and is someone leading that? Is that joining that, or is that gone?
So there's two separate issues. There's the Safety Coalition work, and I actually had a one-on-one meeting with Fred Walzer a couple of weeks ago where we sat down and talked about what work is the Safety Coalition currently doing, and then what are the priorities for the City of Monroe moving forward. And the way that Mr. Walzer explained it to me is that the Safety Coalition work is almost complete. They just have two remaining projects. They had looked at Firm Bluff Road initially, and there wasn't support from the property owners on that section of roadway for actually making the changes that were proposed. And then a second improvement at, is it Westwick off of US 2, just west of Monroe. And those proposed improvements are actually in the works right now. And then they're asking for a third improvement that wasn't part of the original list, which is the barriers between the east and westbound lanes between the Pilchuck Bridge and the Frylands.
So putting barriers up.
Exactly. Right. And so in talking with Mr. Walzer, it appeared that their group is ready to pivot a little bit and start to talk about the capacity improvements on US 2. And we prioritized a list of things that I think both the City of Monroe and the Coalition, the US 2 Safety Coalition, are supportive of. There were four total. So I see us working together more on those in the future.
Okay. And it seems like when they've come a couple times, a few years ago, we haven't seen them in front of council, probably for maybe 2 years, but then they were also trying to advocate for a bypass.
Yeah, and we actually, again, talked a little bit about the bypass, and it's interesting because I think Representative Carolyn Eslick is very interested in the bypass right now, in part because her constituents feel like it takes a long time for them to get through Monroe to 522.
Yeah.
And I think both Mr. Walzer and I personally agreed that it's not a priority right now for the City of Monroe. So I think we want to remain supportive. There's actually an upcoming meeting that Mayor Thomas and city staff are going to be attending along with SDS Consulting, if you approve that contract tonight, to talk about what are the steps moving forward for the bypass and for capacity improvements on US 2.
Any other questions from council or a motion? Any direction from council? Councilmember Gamble?
So this went before the Legislative Affairs Committee. I'd be interested in hearing from Legislative Affairs. Because, I mean, I hear your concern. I think the only difference, and maybe the reason why I'm trying to remember last, we only had two people last time around, too, if I remember right, correct?
Yeah, we had two people. And I'm trying to remember whether or not it went through the Legislative Affairs Committee. The Legislative Affairs Committee, Finance Committee, P4, the committees have been meeting, so we've been using the committees. Certainly, if council would like to have them come forward, we can contact them and have them come forward for an interview. That's certainly something we can do. It's just something that we didn't consider this go around, so we're using the committee process.
Yeah, I'm actually fine with that. I just would like to hear input. I know there's more than just Kevin, so.
Councilmember Scarborough?
Well, I can't say that I remember even the subject coming up, whether or not we should bring it before the council. It was brought to us. It took the recommendations from Ms. Knight and her experience with these and read through the packets of each of the people involved here. We came up with this conclusion. And I'm not opposed to if the rest of council wants to meet these people and have something to say about it, but it's certainly not right to me. I'm telling you what we did as a committee. That helps answer.
So, council members, anybody else have any input, would like to push their buttons? Councilmember Davis? Councilmember Rasmussen? Councilmember Davis?
And I was sort of in on the tail end of that meeting, so basically my take on it was we were going off of the information that suggestions that were made, which nobody had any problems with. They look good and everything else, but again, I agree with you. It didn't come up to have them come in and for the rest of the council, which is also something that I wouldn't have a disagreement with.
I wasn't in on the last one, so I don't know what the process was. So I was comfortable with what we were doing, but like I say, if you want to bring it before the council, I'd have to talk to these people and have no problem.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Davis, anything further?
No, I just to reiterate, that's a good idea. I think I wish I thought.
Okay.
Agree with that.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. As we move forward, giving the council a chance to interview the council, how much of a relationship position that is.
Okay, so just to check in then, is it council's interest to re-interview all three, or is it just to meet the two that are recommended? Okay, so without objection, tell me if you feel differently. We'll go ahead and we'll bring this back to another meeting. I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback.
And just to go back to the process, I think it's wise to have it run through the staff and then to tailor it down to run through the ledge committee. But when it's something about a relationship, if we can narrow it down to two candidates who they believe are the best, that's when I would like an opportunity to interview and to see who we are choosing or to have someone in front of me to choose in that position. So for me, it would be the two that have been narrowed down to put that on the record.
Okay.
So it's not all three, it's two for me.
Understood.
Okay.
Councilmember Camp?
I think I'm understanding the process that has been followed. The interviews were completed by the administration and staff, right? But the candidates did go before the legislative committee.
Or candidates and not just the
packages. Just the packages, so okay. I agree. In the case of a forming relationship with a legislative representative for us, I think it'd be appropriate to at least be before we make the final decision. I'm not, the presentation you gave, the documentation, I can understand the reason behind the approval.
Yeah.
So I really don't have any problems with that. I don't think I'll have any issues with going along with the decision. It sounds like there's a lot of good impact of other council members who are going to be part
of this. So just a point of clarification then on process, is it your intent to meet the candidates, ask the interview questions, and then make a decision around the contract, or do you want the contract to come back at a different day for approval?
I would say the same meeting since the contract's already been presented. But it's that final choice.
Councilmember Scarborough?
So to understand what you've asked and what you said, you don't necessarily disagree with the proposed, you just want to talk to the candidates and see if you did the same feeling that we did.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have them. Sorry, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'm just curious. So, what you'd like to do is bring the candidates back, interview, ask them questions, and then make the decision that night. Or, maybe I just couldn't hear you because of the
pain. We've done that previously when we've interviewed brokers for Cal State. I'm sorry if I'm answering your question. When we've interviewed, we've gotten all the pre-materials that these are the candidates, three or the two that the city is looking at. We've had a formal interview process. I think usually went to executive session and discussed of that, and they came out with a decision and voted it.
So is that what you want, or do you, or as an alternative, bring them in and then follow them immediately to make whatever decision?
If there's a time issue, in the past we've done it that night. We have all the material on when we first interviewed brokers for the Kelsey, I'm not sure who was on council there, package can look very different than in-person presentation. And with lobbyists, if you remember, I think we had two or three that interviewed before, and Hanford, Councilmember Hanford was attested to this, presentation and connection and how they present and whether you feel they're going to be influential with our representative is a key piece in how effective they're going to be, not just how they look on paper. And I trust the city's judgment, but I also, when I make a decision, want to rely on what I see, feel, and hear from them. So because it's about a relationship down in Olympia, how they present and how they answer those questions to us is an indicator of, it could be an indicator, part of it, of how successful they'll be in our community and down in Olympia.
And I agree, that's what I saw in the government.
Exactly, yeah.
But I'm just curious, so what time limitation or how many people somebody did this? You said there's a time limit.
So there's a time limit, in my opinion, for the coalition work, in part because we want that first coalition meeting scheduled in early to mid-September, right after kids come back to school, because we'd like to make sure that everybody is focused on moving forward the 522 capacity improvements particularly. And I think that we're going to need a couple of meetings. If we get delayed past September, then I think we're into October and then into the holiday season. So for that portion of the work, there's a desire to move forward sooner rather than later. For the legislative work in 2019, representing us in the state legislature, that can be delayed, you know, all the way up until, you know, probably October. Again, you try and get together with your representatives in November. There's an election this year, so we certainly want to have somebody ready to go as soon as the election results are announced in mid to late November.
And when would you expect to have candidates meeting?
Well, I'm hoping now that we will have them at the next regular meeting in August. Right.
Okay, that's good. Kind of short. So I can understand the time criticality.
Right, and we have a very full, we are starting to have very full agendas for that 21st meeting, and the 28th is starting to fill up as well.
Councilman Gamble.
So, just so if I remember reading this correctly, the SDS, the consulting for the coalition piece, that's the firm that the other cities are already using,
right? No. So that coalition piece is something that I am recommending because based upon my experience last year, it was very, very difficult for me or anyone else within our organization to be able to do that work in order to reach out to the stakeholders, schedule the meetings, you know, set up time for everybody to get together, track, create the materials that we need to hand out down in Olympia. And so that's the work that I'm trying to pull out, and I'm recommending that SDS Municipal Consulting do that work for us. That's separate than the legislative work. I would see that coalition work feeding in
right.
The legislative work. And again, in my experience, and I certainly appreciate Councilmember Cuddeback's desire to meet the candidates or meet the firms, because that relationship is really important. I've had that relationship with all three, so I know how I feel about it, and I know how the rest of the team felt when they reviewed the proposals and the mayor's recommendation coming out of our one-on-one meeting. So certainly want to offer that same opportunity to council if they feel like they need to take it.
But essentially, you were recommending hiring both firms.
I am, right, just for separate work.
Got it.
Councilor Scarborough?
So it looks like that would be August 14th would be the next meeting.
Right. Yeah.
And we would either decide then or go on to the 21st to make a decision? Is that
No, I'm sorry. I just got the day wrong. I was thinking the meeting on the 21st was the first regular meeting, but it's the 14th. So it's the 14th or the 28th. I'm sure Liz is over there cringing a little.
Anything further? Okay, so we will bring back the agenda bill. We will have the two recommended lobbyists here for council to meet and ask questions of the two recommended consultants.
Okay. And then just to clarify, I'm assuming that what you want is just a brief introduction from each, some background information about them and their firm, and then an opportunity for you to answer questions, for them to answer, for you to ask and them to answer. And then, just to clarify too, Mr. Lell and I both agree that you will need to talk about the qualifications of each one of those candidates in the open public hearing. This will just be for the public affairs or government relations work only, not for the coalition work.
Okay, I just want to make sure that it's clear to my new guys, so I understand what our expectations, what they see our expectations are.
Yes.
So that I can speak to that one.
Right, and that's in the RFP. So if you take a look at the RFP, which I think was attached, there's the list of requirements of contracts.
Okay, I thought we got a visual work description. I'll take another look at it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we'll bring this back August 14th.
Sounds like it's August 14th.
All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is agenda bill number, so final action number 2, AB 18-162, appointment of elected official representative to Snohomish County tomorrow, the SCT Steering Committee. So I brought up a couple weeks ago that we're in need of having somebody to serve on SCT for the city. Councilmember Cutterback reached out to me afterwards. Are you still interested in serving on SCT?
If nobody else. My schedule is very crazy.
Thank you, Councilmember Kim.
I'd like to nominate Councilmember Cutterback for the SCT representative.
Second.
Okay. So I understand that, Councilmember Camp, if I can, the requested action is that what you move to appoint Councilmember Cutterback as the City of Monroe's elected official voting representative of the Snohomish County tomorrow steering committee?
Yes, and I would like to thank her for her work on doing that.
Okay, and I have a second from Councilmember Gamble?
Yes,
okay.
And like,
okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
No, I want to thank you. Well, I'm actually would be very much interested, but I'm going into a time frame where after hours doesn't work as well. But actually, I might be able to carve it out during the middle of the day or early in the morning,
yeah.
But the meeting schedule that they have is not conducive to my fall schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can attend the meeting tomorrow.
Okay. All right, so I have a motion and a second from Councilmember Camp to Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Next item on the agenda is Councilmember Reports, City Council Legislative Affairs Committee update. Councilmember Hanford's not here. So Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Davis, are both of you on the Legislative Affairs Committee? Would you like to report?
We can probably... We've talked about it already because of legislative affairs on these three packages. Legislator and lobbyist. So I think we've kind of talked about that, and we can continue to talk about that when we have the people in front of the city council. That's been the emphasis of our last 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for
Eddie?
Any questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. So Councilmember Reports, Councilmember Camp. I'm sorry, Councilmember Gamble, then Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Gamble.
I spent some time downtown earlier last week. My wife took me out for my birthday dinner. But one thing that I noticed when I was downtown, and I just wanted to bring it up here because they're in talking with the business owners down there, there was a couple of them there that I ran into, and they just think everything that's going on downtown is great. And I saw one, you know, just kind of exchanging a haircut for a meal, and I mean, you know, watching them you know, worked together downtown, which was really cool, but they were a little bit disturbed, and I don't know if you saw it, but one of the buildings that had spray painted for sale on their building. So I did send them, you know, an email off on that, because I don't think that's in the sign code.
Staff will give an update when we get to
that. Okay, staff's going to give an update on that. That would be great, because they were concerned. I didn't see it immediately, but the business owners pointed it out to me, and they're like, of all the work that, you know, we've done downtown, that just kind of, you know, slaps in the face of a lot of the good stuff going on down there. So I'm glad. I'll wait for the report from staff.
Sure. It'll be just a few minutes.
Cool. Oh, and the ribeye was great.
Ed Adams?
Adams. It's phenomenal.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Just one item. The website Save the Word Count. I guess we'll get thanks to the hard work of our city administrator, Mr. Clerk. We should be getting some kind of a lighting so we can access all of us. They have webinars, they have plans, they have consultants, a whole lot of information about how to work with downtown. And the whole concept of the ninja today. And I had an opportunity this weekend to talk to several people about small events to boost the city and boost downtown. And came up with some great ideas for the wintertime. I'm encouraged by it. And I want to thank the city administrator and the clerk for the hard work. I don't know when we're going to have it, but
is that the Save Our
the access to that website?
Will we have access to it?
Are we getting access to it? Or online?
No, you are telling me.
I am. Okay.
No, we will have access to it. So I understand that we're going to be using the council@monroe.gov as the email, which means that they will both be pushing information to you, and then you should also be able to access the webinars and such from that website as well. Our city clerk, Elizabeth Atkinson, is actually looking into make sure that we can do that technically from the back end.
So personally, thank you. That's really important. That's it.
And Councilmember, how much was it again?
I want to say it was 600. Is that what? There is a couple of different memberships, and so the one that Councilmember Camp suggested is called a Megaphone Webinar Membership, and that is $300 a year, and so you get access to all the webinars. I believe they do something around like monthly or maybe more. There's also a free newsletter that goes out, so we'll make sure to sign you up for that as well. And I'll include that when we first sign you up, just information about their website, and the website has a lot of different resources as well. So I believe that it was proposed to do the $300 for the year, and then what I'm doing is looking to solidify that by registering the council members, you can all have access.
So we'll go ahead and sign up for that. If council has any concerns, do let us know now. Otherwise, we'll send the log-on information so that you're able to access it, get on there, and take advantage of those resources. Okay? Thank you. Councilmember Camp, anything further?
That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Good report. My garbage was picked up last week without any problems on time.
Which
so.
Day? Thursday?
Wednesday.
Nice. I'll give you an update on that in a little bit.
Hopefully tomorrow will be a good day, too.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I just wanted to thank Becky and Deborah and all the city staff for addressing, we'll call it a smelly situation, here in the city with our garbage or lack of service that we're experiencing. So I know I got a few emails from my neighbors about it, and keeping council updated on the status of it was excellent. And I know last week we in our study session we'd asked to have it brought, or the contract brought to look at again. I just didn't see it in the extended agenda. So.
We'll address that.
Okay. That's all I have, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just one thing a couple residents have mentioned. If you walk down Chain Link Road down the big sidewalk, there's lots of hanging branches that interfere in the sidewalk, so obviously lawn stuff that should be in the sidewalk, but there doesn't appear as much.
you on that when we get to him. Councilmember Scarborough? You're up.
Scarborough picked up today for us.
Good.
Thanks for the thanks.
Thanks for
entertaining to impress upon the public that it was easy to do that. I see we're setting up for the wakeboard thing out of Lake Tahoe. Looks like that is coming weekend or start.
I believe it's this coming. I think it's starting this late this week, right? The wakeboard. Sorry, Ben, you would not be Mike Farrell. Wakeboard begins Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Road closes on the 25th. That's today.
Tomorrow.
Okay. There
you go.
And thank you to Officer Lynn for taking care of. Abandoned garbage outside the back of the we used to call Albertson's area that we identified and sitting here for quite a while. Prompt action to go clean up on that. That's all.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to staff. First item is we have city clerk records update from Ms. Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. In your packet is the first City Clerk's Records update. I've now been added to your list of updates on a monthly basis. So this month's just a high-level overview of some exciting things going on. So if you look from there, you see that lists our boards and commissions openings. We do have five, so please send us an applicant. We have no applicants at this time. Records Management Grant application, we're going for round two for some grants for digitization and potential microfilming. Records Management, public disclosure, we're still working on getting that next request portal out. Most of that has been delayed due to staff out of offices, but next request is a really great company to work with, so we're moving forward really nicely. The reporting for JLARC that we had to start doing this year has been submitted, and I've included some high-level numbers in there in case you wanted to see some items there, and I have a full report for anyone that is interested. And the last item there is just a report on our RFP that's gone out for indigent defense. I did report at our P4 meeting today just the timeline, and also just a note that there will potentially be some budget increases here, and that's just based on the market numbers being out there. Let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
So any questions from Ms. Atkinson? Okay, again, I want to draw your attention to the vacancies in city boards and commissions. If you have anybody that you feel might be encouraged to be in one of those positions, please encourage them. And I think that's it. Next item then would be a department report from economic development. So economic development update, Ms. Knight.
So a couple of items to bring to council's attention. You have a written report in your agenda packet. I did want to point out that we have started to do an economic development dashboard that's included as attachment one, kind of showing things that have changed over the last month or so. Also want to bring to your attention that Mr. Palmer has compiled a list of available properties. So we are currently working on updating the city's economic development webpage to have those posted. So if folks are looking to come to town, they know what's available. Although we do referrals to Mr. Palmer regularly. So I'd say a couple of times a week at least, somebody's contacting the community development department or myself, and they're looking to expand a business or move a business here. And he's been very, very responsive in reaching out to those folks and making sure that he contacts them and that brings them into town and is working with them to try and psych them here. I mentioned that we are updating that economic development website, and we hope to have something launched by September 1st. The final item that I have is a business survey. So we have sent out a business survey. We started with the chamber at the last chamber meeting, distributing hard copies to folks that attended that meeting. Subsequently, we're now in the process of mailing out copies, hard copies, plus a link to a Monkey survey site where people can take that survey. And then the final action, if we don't hear back from individuals, we'll be reaching out to them and having one-on-one meetings to assist them with completing that survey. So we have about 756 businesses to contact, and already we've gotten a really great response. I think I sent a link out to council members, and if you take a look at your email, if you know of business owners in the community that you want to share that with, that would be great. Just another way to start to gather data about how we're doing in regards to economic development, who's looking to expand, and potentially who's looking to hire. I want to say that it already has prompted one business owner, again, to contact Mr. Palmer, looking for an expansion opportunity inside the city of Monroe. So that's good. It's already kind of created some business discussion. That's all I have for my economic development update.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
The survey is coming out or is out?
It is out.
What form did it come in?
So it's coming in a couple of different forms. It started out as a hard copy and was distributed at the chamber board, last chamber board meeting. We're also sending hard copies to all of our business owners, as well as emailing those that we have emails for, just the link to the monkey survey. So you can either take it as a hard copy and mail it back in, scan it and email it to us, or you can go online and just take it directly online from monkey survey.
Thank you. Any other questions from Ms. Knight? Thank you very much. Next item that we have then for department reports is a finance update from Ms. Hassard. Ms. Hassard.
Thank you. And if I may take a moment, thank you for the comments about our garbage situation last week, but the one person that I definitely wanted to thank for that as well is Mr. Mayor. You know, there's only so much staff can do sometimes, and sometimes it takes that next level up to just get it across the finish line, and he definitely was able to take some time for us out of his busy schedule to help us with that. So I wanted to make sure everybody was aware that it was definitely a team effort, and I, for one, appreciated his help in stepping up with that. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. The finance report. Again, in your packet, everything looks good so far for the first half of the year. We are at the 50% mark, and with straight line projections on everything, we are exactly where we expect to be. One of the things that I did want to point out, and it is on the comments on the report that is attached, is that with the budget amendment that was adopted, we did transfer an additional $750,000 to the North Kelsey Fund for a total of over $1 million and $15,000 towards that 2020 North Kelsey bond debt. So with taking consideration of that, if we back that out, our revenues actually exceed our expenditures for the first 6 months of the year for the general fund. So that's good news. Usually you break even, or sometimes your expenditures are a little higher because of the way property taxes will come in. Our revenues are exceeding expenditures. So just wanted to make sure to point that out. The other thing, I'm available for questions on any other parts of the overall report. What is not in the report is we did get contacted by the state auditors this week. They have scheduled our fiscal year 2017 audit, both for the city and the TBD, and they are going to be on site beginning August 6th.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Hassard? Thank you, Ms. Hassard. Next item that we have on the agenda is Mayor and Administrative, I'm sorry, Human Resources Information Technology update from Mr. Worthen.
Given the heat, you would have skipped over me. So I'll be brief, given the heat. So in July, we started offering semi-monthly payroll. The election was optional for current employees. Some people have been paid once a month for a long time, and switching back was way more complicated than they wanted to. So Becky was gracious enough to offer them to stay where they're at, but any new hires will be paid on the 7th and the 22nd of each month, and also our seasonals. If you think about our seasonals come here, don't make a lot of money. Paying them twice per month is a lot easier for them. So, so far so good. We'll keep you updated how that's going. We have probably about 20 to 25 people, so about 20% that have adopted semi-monthly payroll. And then in IT, if you want to, before I skip, you got
it. Councilmember Cutterback?
Do you only do electronic?
We don't cut any checks right now.
Go ahead.
So in terms of IT, in the later part of May, our current current provider, Smarts, told us they could no longer be offering spam filtering. They didn't give us much time, about 30 days, to find a new vendor. Luckily, we already had a relationship with Viper, who does our emails, who does our antivirus for our servers and whatnot. They offer spam filtering, so we went with them. And so far, given the short turnaround time, I think the team's rather well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Worthen? Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go out to staff who haven't reported out yet. Mr. Swanson.
So I have a few items for you this evening. First one to answer a couple members Gamble's questions. So staff did go down and look for the graffiti. We noticed that we had pictured actually earlier on Friday, and so on Monday staff went out. When they went out, they already on Monday.
Oh,
the for sale area. And that wasn't anything that the city did. I don't know if neighbors or people just had contacted them or they got one. And with that particular storefront, we have been working with them on a permit to essentially redo the facade, new canopy, and new signage. I don't know where that's currently at, but we have been working with them. They have a permit for it.
And Mr. Swanson, had you advised me that they had sought out a permit, they were issued a permit?
They're still under review for a permit, and then another one will ready to issue, but things have stalled out.
Stalled out, right.
Yeah. And so we haven't, for a couple of weeks, haven't heard anything back. When the city did go down to, of course, the business owner, they were closed. It was a Monday, we assumed it would be open time,
right.
And they were closed, so we didn't have any contact with them at that time. But we are following up with them just to see if they are back in board with it, or if it's something they want to truly abandon and sell the property. Okay.
Thank you. All right, and you have another report. This briefing right here?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So why don't you go ahead and go over that?
Excellent. So the next item, I did hand this out prior to the meeting, which you're sitting on your desk. With this one, I was hoping to get it to council prior to publication. Apparently, the newspaper from the 25th publishes on the 24th, and so it did get put out today. And essentially what happened was, both on later in the evening, on July 9th, and then on July 10th, I received approximately 4 emails. Those are in your packets regarding some construction on the crossing neighborhood, which is just down the way, regarding a proposed development at the end of the cul-de-sac. And what added complexity to this project is there's essentially 3 permits on the parcel. The first one is a single-family residential unit, which is essentially administrative approval. It was established legal lot of record. There's no notice. You submit your building plans on the lot, check for setbacks. It goes to the building code review. If it meets all the code requirements, the permit is issued. The second permit that came in was for an accessory dwelling unit that's associated with that single-family residential unit. That one does require notice to the neighbors, which was sent out and posted on the property. And both those were reviewed and granted, and then subsequent to that, they submitted for a short plot of the property, which is essentially taking a single lot and turning it into 2 lots. The cul-de-sac, and I put in a map, I kind of crudely drew in the cul-de-sac here in the area, so that the area highlighted in pink is essentially the Columbia Crossing neighborhood, which I identify in the staff report as the development that was approved by City Council in 2015, resulting in approximately 20 homes. And then that stretch of West Columbia you see fronting those pink properties was actually installed by Ray Hansen, the developer of the property. And so that portion of West Columbia essentially terminated into what's called a temporary cul-de-sac. As you look at the actual lot lines, it just looks like the road that ends. However, where I drew in those dash lines, that's actually a temporary cul-de-sac until eventually one day if that road goes through, that temporary portion is abandoned and given back to the homeowners. The road goes through just like a straight stretch. And those temporary cul-de-sacs are essentially put in where there's any potential for future access. And then the property that was submitted for the single family, the ADU, and the subsequent short subdivision, which is currently under review, is highlighted in yellow. And so the main concern with the meeting, I'll back up a little bit. So after receiving the emails and phone calls from the neighbors, this was on a Tuesday, I gave them the option of coming in and meeting with me. between 5:30 and 6:30. And I was in contact with approximately 4 or 5 people at that time. When I showed up in the council chambers to meet with them, there was about 14 people in the council chamber. So a lot of them came and I had a lot of concerns. And I think one of the big issues is they were caught by surprise. Because essentially the way our noticing requirements is required to post the property. And so posting the property didn't necessarily post their site on the street. Because of the fence basically was obstructing the view between the property and where it was. So the question is, did we meet municipal code? We did. But like I say, we can do better with what we did. And so I did sit down with staff and direct them in situations like this when you have a lot. It's really going to be a common sense call. When you have a lot that potentially has two areas, 179th and West Columbia there, don't just put it on the lot. Show that extra effort of actually going outside beyond the fence to provide that notice, because they're essentially screened from the notice, and that's what really kind of caught them off guard is when the owner of the property started taking down that fence to get ready to install this driveway. That's when they were kind of taken back. Why is our fence coming down? A little history on that with the fence is actually located in a public driveway, and we went back through our files and reviewed for permits. We didn't have any permits on the neighbor. And so that's when the homeowner asked if we could take it down, and it was effectively obstructing the access to the right of way.
Council members, do you have any questions about the issue?
Fence that they took down, or they just took down the section that was at the end, they left the one going by the last homeowner there?
Within the right of way, correct. And from what I understand is because it came in panels, they had to take a panel that went out beyond and then put it in the post in and then connect the panel back up, so it meant the right of way area. But they did survey the property to find out exactly where the right of way was.
Okay. Council member, cut it back.
So it sounds like we met the code, but it obviously didn't meet the needs of the residents on the other side. So when we have something like that happen, to examine, obviously you ask the question of how we can communicate better and maybe staff going the extra mile. But can we look at maybe amending the code so that we're not in that situation again where we make sure that we give notice differently, if that's what the need is?
Yeah, and that's something that we're doing with the Unified Development Regulation update. So that would be our process chapter where we go through and revise that. Because right now, it's like this in other jurisdictions. Some, it's kind of 50-50. Right now, it just says, you basically have to post the property. Typically, you have a distance requirement, especially like if you get very large properties, you don't just want to, say something that's the size of the Walmart parcel.
Right.
You just want to put one sign up there at one end. And so it usually has distance requirements. And so puts, basically boxes in them before, as opposed to just the one sign on the property. And then one thing, and this was, it was more of a staff level thing, as far as we do send out mailers to the property owners. And because they're mailers, we have a limited area to describe what the proposal is. And again, that was something we could have done in a better job. We did meet the requirements, but we should have been more specific as far as the development.
Right, and that's my question, to leave it up to or require staff to go one up. Maybe the code should be amended, as you were saying, you're going to look at that, so to just adhere to a code that meets the needs of the resident versus that staff have to go that extra mile.
Yeah, and so for the interim, we're going to do that, but like we're discussing with the code, we'll put in essentially some identifying markers.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Swanson, do you have anything further?
I have one last thing. So, as I stated, the new shuttle launches on August 1st, but we are having the big kickoff meeting, or kickoff event on August 17th, and that will be in the YMCA parking lot, and it's from 11:30 to 12:30, so we encourage everyone to come out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Mr. Roberts.
Yes, sir.
Come on up. Do you have any updates for Public Works? Usually you do it from the table, but if it's so loud, please come forward.
Okay, fair enough. I'll be noisy. Looked at your certificate of maintenance request already, so we'll didn't get it.
You are on it.
Back here. So I got it on my cell phone, so it's easy for that.
Yeah.
As far as other updates for Public Works, I didn't have anything substantial planned today, so good evening and good night.
Good evening and good night. Does anybody have any questions for Public Works?
Sandy, thank you very much.
parents and teachers? Any sort of updates on
that? Greg Officer Nedley Stanback graduated from the academy last week, so that's exciting news. Her training process, which is pretty extensive, so we'll hope to see her in the road in about 3.5 months. Solo patrol, August 7th, NIAID Against Crimes coming up. We're in our busy season at the department, so we've got that going on. We've got the fair traffic and the parade we're planning for, followed by Citizens Academy. So, busy time for us right now. Just think of applicants for Citizens Academy and make sure you're at NIAID.
Thank you very much. Any questions for PD? Okay, I don't see any questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On the note of PD, you had asked a question, Councilmember Cutaback, I think last week, about the statistics. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the statistics were calls for service. And Mr. Dickerson and I have been working with PD staff to come up with more comprehensive and at the same time meaningful statistics to share with council. So that's one thing you'll see over the next couple updates that you get here, is just trying to expand the statistics we're giving to you. One of the things that I want to make certain that council understands is not just the calls for service, but also, like you were asking, where people are actually apprehended, where people are in pre-trial, people that are actually incarcerated, and get an idea of what the costs are and so on. So that's kind of where we're leaning right now, is to try to have something a little bit more meaningful that is not just the calls for service. And it's something I've been working on for a little while, and I would hope over the next couple months that we'll have more info for you. Yep, you're welcome. Okay, Ms. Knight.
Yes, thank you. So on the extended agenda, we have our workshop scheduled for next Tuesday, the 31st. I do want to point out that we were planning to bring to you a Park and Recreation Department reorganization discussion, but that still is at the Parks Board, and so that's not quite ready for prime time, and we're going to be changing that out for a Budget 101 review with Ms. Hassert. She's actually been going around and presenting this to various city departments and city boards and commissions, and it's been very well received. She got a great report back from the sergeants group that she presented to just over the weekend. So we're going to be bringing that to you on the 31st in lieu of the Parks and Recreation Department reorganization. I also want to point out that we have added now to your August 14th agenda the consultant interviews for lobbying, so we'll put that on there. We have a resolution for a purchase and sale agreement that is for Parcel 2A at North Kelsey. Mr. Lell and I have been working on amending the restrictive covenants with Providence, and the property purchaser is in Tibet for several weeks, so that is going to be pushed out to September, but it's still active, so I just wanted to keep you informed on where we're at with that purchase and sale agreement. The final item that I have is under the Tuesday, August 21st study session. We have an item called Funding Alternatives, and that is going to be introduced to you at the budget workshop. It's just a list at the budget workshop of items that you may want to consider, and then we'll be doing a more thorough review at that meeting on August 21st. So that's kind of a preview of coming attractions.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Knight on those items? All right. Thanks. kick me when I forget something. So the first thing we have, Ms. Knight mentioned earlier that I am meeting with area mayors and with County Council Member Lowe, and also with Representative Eslick to talk about transportation and legislation this Thursday. I also wanted to let you know that we are moving on to the next phase of police chief interviews. We've got a couple candidates right now and are interested in knowing whether or not council members are interested in serving on one of three panels that we're putting together, the two dates, and we do need to contact the candidates to see if they're available. Would either be August 10th, which is a Friday, or August 17th, which is a Friday. So if you're interested in serving on a committee, I'd like you to please email me, and like that we can have staff contact you as we get closer to those dates. Councilmember Scarborough?
So these are instruments to the final interviews with the police team candidates. Where much is committee for your asking?
Okay, so we're going to have approximately, so we're going to have a, okay. So it is the 17th. Okay, all right. Okay, so we just got confirmation that the 10th is out. So if that interested you, that's an honor. It's August 17th. I love communication these days. It happens right now. What it is on the night of the 16th, which is a Thursday, we will have a community meet and greet with the candidates. And then for Friday, we are going to have approximately 3 panels of people that will include stakeholders, PD personnel, directors here, and also council members to participate in one of the 3 panels to ask questions of the police chief candidates. And so my question to you is whether or not there are any council members who would like to serve on one of those 3 panels. And again, we'll have more details now about time. We're still waiting for time, right? Yes, good. Okay, so we've got the date, August 17th, but time for you to participate. We're probably looking at a couple hours.
Yes, it'll be in the morning before 2:30.
And morning before 2:30. Councilmember Cutterback, you'd like to serve? Okay, Councilmember Gamble does too. Okay, anybody else like to serve on one of the 3 panels?
Out of town, otherwise I would.
I'm sorry? No? Okay, so we have Councilmember...
Sure.
So Councilmember Scarborough is a yes. Councilmember
possibly.
Cutterback... Councilmember Scarborough is a possibly.
Yeah, I'm going to check to see what I've got.
Okay, Councilmember Cutterback is a yes. Councilmember Gamble is a yes. Okay, so we'll be in touch with you over the next couple weeks to firm up the times for those interviews. Okay, the last item that I have is garbage collection. I had a... what ended up being a productive conversation with Republic on Thursday morning. On Thursday morning last week, I reviewed the correspondence. I'd reviewed the correspondence the night before from Republic. They'd indicated that they were going to come and take... They did not indicate a date when the garbage would be picked up from Tuesday last week. When I came in at 6 in the morning, I reread the correspondence just to make certain that I was of the same mindset the night before. I contacted Republic, advised them that we were going to talk on Thursday morning and ask them to confirm that 9 a.m. would be good for them. I spoke with them and staff on a teleconference call for about 15 minutes at 9 on Thursday. That ultimately resulted in 2 additional phone calls. The last phone call, they stated that they were going to do what I had advised them they were going to do, which was pick up all the garbage in town. They diverted 3 trucks from other areas and had most all of the garbage picked up by the end of business on Thursday. They also, without my request, had agreed to have their 2 field supervisors in pickup trucks follow around the big blue trucks and talk to our residents who came out and had questions. The gentleman that I was working with, his name Courtney. Courtney advised me that between he and his co-worker, not Courtney, but
Abby.
Made contact with at least 25 of our residents while the big blue trucks were rolling through town picking up garbage. Their email advised me that they would return to normal business this week. If anybody hears of any garbage that hasn't been picked up, that should have been picked up, please let me know. With that said, Thursday night also, I attended Snohomish County Cities in a different capacity, but while I was there, I spoke with the mayor of Snohomish, Mayor Kartak. I also spoke with the council member in Sultan, and also the mayor of Edmonds. They had similar problems over the last 4 to 6 weeks, and so we are working on next steps where we may put together a letter expressing our concern about our disappointment about the services the last several weeks, and also expressing concern going forward. Lastly, in the email correspondence that I sent off to Republic, I advised them that we needed resolution to their call center issues. and we also needed to have a more appropriate level of contact when things like this arise. I found it frustrating, although I appreciated Courtney and Abby. I found it frustrating that I wasn't speaking to somebody like a general manager that day. The staff that I spoke with expressed concern about talking to a mayor of a city. I advised the people I was talking to on the phone that we do need to have better communication at appropriate levels. They were not there on the phone empowered to be able to make the decisions, which is why it ended up taking 2 hours out of my day on Thursday to get resolution to the matter. At the end of the day, I appreciated their picking up the material, and they will be here at the end of August to give an update, I believe. Yeah, in the meantime, we're going to maintain close contact with them, and I'm sure that we'll be sharing additional information at another time. So that's a rundown of some of the things from last week and also coming up. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, we now have a need for an executive session. We have two executive sessions this evening. Potential litigation is for both of them. We are under RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I. We're going to start off with 10 minutes. And so that, yes, we'll take care of Mr. Worthen's item first, and then we'll take care of Ms. Hassert's item second. And we will have action to follow if nothing else. Actually, we will have action to follow. Yeah, in addition to adjournment. So we are now in executive session for approximately 10 minutes. Okay, we're back in session. Councilmember Gamble.
I move to amend the agenda to add item 3, separation agreement for personnel for final action.
Second. Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp to add an item to the agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gamble.
I move to approve the settlement agreement.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Cutterback to move to approve a settlement agreement.
Council, if I could make a minor recommendation regarding the form of the motion, my recommendation would be to move that the City Council authorize the mayor to...
Can you take a break for a second, sir? We're going to pause for about 15 seconds.
Yes,
that's
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, Councilmember Gamble just
flipped
over my page. I should have crossed that out.
Okay. So I'm going to. Councilmembers, we're going to go ahead. There's a motion on the table. I don't know that it can be rescinded because it belongs to the floor.
You're going to amend the motion by replacing
it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I move to authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute on the city's behalf an employee separation agreement with Ms. Marcy Burrows in substantial the form presented to council together with such minor revisions as the mayor may deem necessary or appropriate.
First from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp to initially to essentially replace the previous motion through this amended motion. Any discussion on the motion? Again, the motion is to authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute on the city's behalf an employee separation agreement with Ms. Marcy Burrows in substantially the form presented to council together with such minor revisions as the mayor may deem necessary or appropriate. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from, was that Councilmember Davis?
Sure.
From Councilmember Davis, any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. We are adjourned. Have a great week.